It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome back to our segment, to our Bible study segment. And I'm so excited. Connie Stanfill is here and we are in day or lesson 38. And this is one of my favorite stories. Connie, tell us about what we're going to be learning today.
Well, we are going to follow Jesus again as he goes into Jerusalem. We're going to find he has one more healing that's going to happen on the way to Jerusalem. And then we'll be talking about the triumphal entry. But I'm going to start and read just that first event of the healing, and then we'll do the entry into Jerusalem. So this is Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Well, here we have actually the last account of a miracle or healing miracle in Mark. And I don't know if you remember a couple of times ago, we were talking about that two-part miracle where Jesus healed a blind man. And then we have the disciples, we can tell as we've been talking in the last few days, are still not completely understanding what's going to happen in Jerusalem or why Jesus came. And here it's going to be highlighted for us that a blind man who lacks physical sight has great spiritual sight that to this point his disciples have not totally gotten. And so what a picture of how God works in people's lives. But we're going to walk through this verse by verse, and I'll just tell you some of the other little bits about it that make it interesting. So as in verse 46 says, 46 it says, and he came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. So we find that he's passing through Jericho. And one thing to know, if you look at the other accounts in the scriptures, it gets a little confusing. Was he coming in? Was he going out of Jericho? There were actually two Jerichos. One was an old city, which might have been somewhat inhabited. And then there was a brand new city, which was a little bit north of there, and the one that had more people and all. But it tells us that as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, with a great crowd of people following him, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And this is one of the few people in scripture that Jesus healed that we have the name. And in Hebrew, when you see the word bar, it actually means son. And so then it's explained for us by Mark, our gospel writer, that he was a son of Timaeus. We find out that he was sitting by the roadside. And generally what happened with people who were crippled or blind or other things, they would sit by the roadside like they do in third world countries and perhaps have their cloak in front of them. And then they would ask for people to donate or give them alms to help them because they're not healthy or well enough or able to work. And then we find verse 47, it says, when he, Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And interestingly enough, this blind beggar is the first person to call Jesus Son of David, which is really a title for the Messiah. And so it speaks to Bartimaeus understanding something about Jesus that other people had not yet. And we also find that Jesus did not rebuke him for saying this. Then verse 48, it says, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And so the crowd thought he was of no account. He wasn't worthy of bothering the great teacher, and they just wanted him to stop saying anything and be quiet. But then we find, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so this is a person in great need with physical blindness who is calling out in faith with persistence to the one person he knows who can help him. And so what a picture of faith, actually. And then we find in verse 49, Jesus, it says, and Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And so Jesus wanted him to come over to him. And then it says, and then the people called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And so now he's like everybody's best friend because the teachers noticed him. And then in verse 50, it says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And we just see the eagerness of him coming to Jesus. And in verse 51, it says, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? If you remember our lesson from yesterday, he asked the same question of James and John when they came to him saying they wanted places, you know, just before they asked for places of honor. Jesus here says, what do you want me to do for you? But what we're going to find, there's such a huge contrast and difference here, because what Bartimaeus wants is the Lord's mercy. He doesn't ask for position or greatness or power or prestige. What he just wants is what only God can give him. And then it says, and the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And truly, actually, our Bibles say Rabbi, but it's Rabboni, which is a very special form of teacher or rabbi. And really, it means my Lord and my master. And so he is calling Jesus a very personal name. And he's saying, you are my Lord and my master. And what he wants is for him to be able to see. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. We've heard Jesus say this before. He said that to the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, and he commended her for her faith. We can see here that Jesus is also commending Bartimaeus for his faith. And then we find that because Bartimaeus is healed at this point, he then does what anyone who's received the Lord's mercy would naturally do or make sense for him to do. It says, and immediately he recovered his sight, and he followed him on the way, meaning Bartimaeus followed Jesus to Jerusalem. And we don't know what happened after that. Maybe he was going to the temple to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving for his healing. Maybe he just wanted to be with Jesus and hear what he's teaching. But it's a beautiful picture of someone who's received the Lord's mercy and grace and then desiring to be with him and follow him. We have a picture which kind of contrasts the disciples' desire for greatness. And then here we have just a humble servant of the Lord, a true follower of Jesus. And so it's a beautiful picture of how God changes people. What I'd like to do now is read our next section for today. And that's going to be from Mark chapter 11. And it's going to be the account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And as I read this and as we talk through it, I want you to think, just feel or think, understand in your heart, in your mind about how this is the Son of God, God himself in the flesh, entering the holy city and the area where the temple is. This is, he owns this. And he is coming to his own place. And then we'll see as we go through the rest of the chapters of Mark how he's received as he comes to his city. So this is Mark chapter 11, verse 1. And one other thing I should tell you is that also this is the second event in Jesus' life that other than the crucifixion and resurrection that is in all four Gospels. So this event and then also is that feeding of the 5,000, which we had earlier in Mark. All right, so Mark 11, verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he'd looked around at everything, and it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So here we have the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And notice we get some very specific details of what's going on, which speaks to an eyewitness account, probably Peter, and from the details we were given of even this account of going to get the colt, we wonder if Peter is one of those two disciples sent to do that. But as we go through this, I'm going to tell you that it says when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany. This is interesting because Bethphage is a village on one side of the Mount of Olives, which the name actually means house of unripe figs. And Bethany, which is on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, a village there, village where Mary and Martha and Lazarus live, is also called the house of dates or figs, or perhaps the house of the poor. But it's interesting because we're going to be talking about figs very soon, and interesting that the words are there. Then we find that Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into a village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. And something interesting is to know that when the kings of Judah came into Jerusalem in peace, they rode mules or donkeys. And here we have Jesus riding on a donkey, the colt of a donkey. He's not coming on a war horse. Someday he will come on a war horse, but this is a time of peace where he's coming. And then we find that people ask why they're untying the colt, and the disciples give the answer Jesus told them, and then they were allowed to take the colt. And then it says they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. So he rode the donkey. And then it says many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they'd cut from the fields. And as we look at the Old Testament, it's good to know this idea about putting cloaks down before them, because that's a concept that happened before Kings. We have a passage in 1 Kings where that also happened, where when someone was crowned king, then they immediately took their cloaks off and had him walk over them. The whole idea also of the leafy branches, specifically palm branches, speaks to that being a national symbol of Judah, of the Israel, of the nation of Israel. We know that the temple itself had engraved palm trees all around in the temple proper. And so it's a symbol of the nationalism of Israel. And then we find that those who went before and those who followed after were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Hosanna literally means, oh, save us, or please save us, or save us now. And that is a direct quote from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. And so we find that the people are acknowledging something special is going on here. They hope Jesus is the Messiah. They're acclaiming his ride into Jerusalem. It seems that probably most of them are hoping for a political Messiah. And we see overtones of that with the cloaks on the ground and the palm branches brought out and waved and on the ground. But again, we find Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. And we also know in the other gospel accounts, some of the religious leaders were saying, stop them, don't let them say that. And Jesus said, if you were to stop them, the very stones would cry out. And so this is what's going on. And so we have the people acclaiming Jesus coming to Jerusalem. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest. And again, talking about David, again, refers to the Messiah, because we know one day David will have a descendant rule on his throne forever. And then verse 11 tells us that he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And that word for temple means generally the whole entire temple complex, not just the place of the holy place and the most holy place, but actually the whole grounds, everything. And it says, and he looked around at everything, and as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And so we find Jesus went out to Bethany to spend the night. But interestingly, Mark told us that he took a very careful look around the temple. And when we come to our study tomorrow, we're going to be talking about what Jesus was looking for when he looked around the temple. Truly, I think our lesson today is telling us what it means to really follow God's Son. We still have these ideas, these elements of people don't fully understand who he is. We've had the blind beggar Bartimaeus show us what it means to receive his mercy and then to wholeheartedly follow him. And then we have people like the disciples and the people in the crowd blessing him and saying Hosanna, not quite yet knowing why he came and what's going on.
Oh, Connie, thank you so much. What an incredible lesson, ladies. And looking forward to our next segment when Nancy and I are going to talk more about it. But listen, we have these segments all recorded, just these 10-minute ones here, and you can go grab those and the notes as well. Share them with ladies around your own table. It's so important in this time that we are in God's Word and at His feet. And you can find all of that at naomistable.com. We're going to be right back.